Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome, America, to Armed American Radio, where we are going to begin another very short hour. And hopefully we can do something about that in the near future. We are broadcasting this evening live at the studios of Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA in the beautiful Buckhead section of very hot Hotlanta, Georgia. They don't nickname it that for no reason whatsoever. It is boiling here. And our board operator and producer tonight is Mr. Eugene Bright. Listeners, feel free to give us a call into the studio tonight. We've got a great lineup this evening, and we're not going to waste a lot of time. We're going to go right into it. Feel free to reach out to us at 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665, or 770-226-0920. That's 770-226-0920. I'm your host, Mark Walters. The program is sponsored by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And as I say every week, if you're not a member of the USCCA, please join in. Visit us at www.usconcealedcarry.com and give us some of your time, and you will really enjoy the organization. It's never been more important than it is now. Before we get into the program and I introduce my guests, I'd like to thank some listeners out there. We're getting a ton of email here, folks, a ton of email here. Yes, sir. And it's coming in from all over the country. So I want to recognize some of these letters here. I obviously don't have enough time. I'd have to spend the entire hour going through all of them. But, you know, here, this one came in from a Brian Wegner in Indianapolis, Indiana, and a very good one. Yet again, it's somebody requesting a local station up in his area to bring us to Indianapolis. So that was very nice. And he sent some information into the manager of a station up there and says, Kent, have you heard of this program, Armed American Radio? It's getting a heck of a following online, and I would love to see WIBC pick it up as it is very informative for gun owners of all kinds. Here's a brief description, and he is kind enough to go in to give the management the description of the program. Is there any possibility, he says, of adding the show to your lineup, possibly in place of Jersey Johnny? Jersey Johnny on Sunday night at 8 to 9 p.m. We should send Jersey Johnny backpacking to Jersey, and let's bring some gun talk on what is it up there? WIBC in Atlanta. Folks, stick around. Some great stuff's getting ready to happen. Okay, we've got another one here. This is from Dan Hewitt, and it says, Hi, Mark. I really enjoy the program, and I'm sure I'm not the first to say this, but it needs to be longer, and that was in capital letters. Keep up the great work, Dan Hewitt, and that's from Holtz Summit, Missouri. So, Dan, thank you very much for the great comments, and the letter following is a good one. This one coming up was my favorite of the week, and I corresponded with the gentleman. I got the following email that says, Hi, Mark, I love your show, but I need more of it. Straight to the point, right? I hate when you have to cut your guests off to go to commercial, but I do understand it pays the bills and makes the show possible. I wish it was a two-hour program because you just scratched the surface on all the discussions. I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard this stuff, so I just wanted to tell you I love the program, just want more of it. Thanks again. And I responded back when I got the email, I hear you, and you are correct, it isn't the first time I've heard it. Thanks so much for the compliments and stay tuned, we're just beginning. And within minutes, I got the following reply. I don't plan on missing it. I download the shows as soon as I can. I can't listen live as I'm usually flying home from a race. Now that perked up my ears. Thanks for the NASCAR plug a few weeks ago. After Darlington, we need the positive press. I'm a tire changer for Bobby Labonte. If you plan on going to another race, let me know. And he goes on from there. So we've just added the number 96 Bobby Labonte car to our favorites list up there. Jason, it's great to know that we're being listened to in Concord, North Carolina, while you're working on those incredible machines. Thank you very, very much for the kind words. We appreciate it. And I can assure you that Armed American Radio and NASCAR Nation are the best of friends. I want to get into a few topics here before we go to our guests. We had 23 attorneys general tell Holder no dice on semi-auto ban renewal, which is great news. Of course, there were 65 congressmen not too long ago that did the same thing. The list is a good one. 23 of them telling him, hey, back off. We don't want to support this. Here's one here. Legislature to debate allowing Arizonans to carry concealed weapons without a permit. And this is great news. My favorite state in the country. You got to love Arizona. Open carry state and a very gun-friendly state. Has been since territorial days. But in Arizona, they're going after, I guess, what we could call Vermont or Alaskan-style carry. Are you 18? Not convicted of a crime? Feel free to carry your weapon. Hopefully that passes in Arizona and we can have even more fun out there than we normally do. Of course, you've got the typical liberal groups. You've got the police chiefs out there and the sheriffs. Of course, these are all political appointees, folks, but they're all saying how it's going to change how they police. And we'll check on that with one of our guests in just a few minutes. Two in custody after fatal shooting at New Mexico Denny's. This is a an interesting program, and I want to touch on this interesting topic, and I want to touch on this with our guests on the program tonight as well. So I'll move on, and we'll start doing that in just a couple minutes. I've got three tremendous guests joining me this evening. Kathy Jackson, the managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, a very good friend of mine, the proprietor of the CornerCat.com, CornerCat.com, sans the CornerCat.com. And Kathy joins us this evening, along with the Godfather. And by the way, happy Father's Day to everybody out there. I can't believe I forgot to mention that. We've got the Godfather of modern concealed carry method and techniques, Mr. Masad Ayoub. Both Kathy and Masad make their second appearance on Armed American Radio, and we thank them. And we've got championship shooter, competitive shooter, Ms. Gail Pepin. And all three of them should be on the line with us right now. I would like to welcome everybody to Armed American Radio.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? Masad, are you with us?
I sure am, Mark. It's
fantastic.
And Gail is here, too.
Super. Masad, before I go any farther on this, and we get into some issues tonight, this New Mexico shooting here, have you had a chance to, have you seen anything about this yet?
I've just seen some peripheral mention, apparently, for perpetrators, takeover-type robbery, rifles.
Yeah, they had rifles and handguns. And tactically, I got to thinking about this today. You know, we all know what happened in the Luby's cafeteria with down in Texas.
Yes.
A few years back. And, you know, we had good law-abiding people who were forced to leave their weapons in the car following Texas law. Now, here you've got something that it almost reminded me of a Pulp Fiction type thing, Masad, where four armed guys burst into a Denny's that was apparently packed with 100 people inside the restaurant. And I don't know enough about it. There's not enough on here. But what do you do tactically, Masad, in a situation like that if you are carrying? You obviously don't know if anybody else is carrying in the restaurant. And here you've got four armed guys come in. Now, somebody at the Denny's, an employee, was shot and killed. How do we handle something like that tactically?
Normally, we have to play the odds and simply not open the ball. If we've got four men with guns, drawing our gun against 4-1 odds gives us, you know, a very poor predicted outcome. And worse, we are triggering a gunfight in a place filled with 100 innocent bystander corollary targets. Once the shooting starts, everything has changed. You can anticipate that there will be more than one. And at that point, the old common law principle called the doctrine of competing harms kicks in. If they've come in to shoot people anyway, then the greater good is served by neutralizing those four.
No.
In countries where that's a common pattern, the routinely armed people have the plan that at dinner, if the door kicks in, the cowboys come in and start shooting into the ceiling. The history in their country says it's going to lead to atrocities, and basically the armed person at the left of the table starts shooting left to right at the intruders. The one at the right side of the table will start shooting right to left, and whoever is in the middle sort of bats cleanup.
Masad, we've got a quiet line here. If I could ask you to speak up just a little bit. And, you know, you talk about something that is, I guess the only way to say this is, you really, because you are going to trigger a gunfight if you were to pull out your weapon. And a lot of folks carry five-shot snubbies, things of this nature, and you've got four armed guys in there. And I guess unless they're coming after you, the best thing to do, what you're saying, is really just play it out.
We have to play the odds. The history of it is that most of the time, if you cooperate with them, they don't shoot anybody. It's understood if there are four of them with fingers on the triggers and you start shooting, they're going to start shooting. You can't get them all. Your gunfire may be trained and disciplined, and may even, you know, you may, shooting from the table at standing men, even be able to angle the shots upward where your misses or exiting bullets would not endanger bystanders. They are going to start shooting indiscriminately. And us trying to be the hero could predictably trigger the massacre of the innocent. As callous as it sounds, you almost have to wait for one victim to fall. You almost have to wait for the shooting to start.
Yeah, and there's not enough information on this yet that's come out. I guess they've caught the perpetrators here, or several of them anyway, and we'll see how this thing shakes out. Of course, New Mexico is a concealed carry state, so it'll be interesting to see this story as it unfolds. Kathy, how are you?
I am doing just fine. Mark, how about yourself?
I'm doing great. And Masad, by the way, happy Father's Day. I want to ask you a couple questions about your daughter when we come back from your daughters, both daughters, when we come back from the break, and their shooting skills. I understand they're most impressive. Kathy, safety, you know, Father's Day. What a great day to talk about gun safety. You know, that's such a paramount issue with us at Armed American Radio. And sometimes we get going into politics, the politics of guns. We get going into conversation, and we've got some great conversation happening each and every week, and we run out of time every week. And sometimes we forget to mention that safety. And I want to come back to that with you again, because it is Father's Day, and it is a great day to talk about, hey, dads, you know, if you've got guns in the house, keep these things locked up, and keep, you know, you've got to be ready with them. But they also need to be locked up and kept away from everybody. And I want to tout your site again, Kathy, cornercat.com. We got a lot of emails when you were on the program a few weeks ago. And gun safety, what's the most paramount issue with your kids, Kathy? Teaching them?
Absolutely teaching them. I am a firm believer in both suspenders and a belt. I believe that guns should be kept out of the hands of kids unless the kids are under the supervision of a responsible adult. And then, because I know that we don't live in a perfect world and that nobody can perfectly manage to never make a mistake and never accidentally leave a firearm where a kid can get it, never accidentally leave the combination of the safe lying around where a kid could find it, never ever accidentally leave their keys sitting somewhere where the kids can get into them, I believe that you really have to educate the kids from day one about how to handle guns safely, because there will come a time, your basic job as a parent is to work yourself out of a job, and there will come a time when you are not around and the kid's going to stumble across a gun at some point, and they need to know how to be safe. Whether or not you are there to enforce safety, and that's really where it starts.
Okay, so we're gonna come back to that right after the break, Kathy. So bear with me just a second. Masad will touch on your book as well on gunproofing your children. Okay, and we'll be right back after the break, everybody.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
If you're thinking of investing your hard-earned money in the stock market, I have one word of advice for you. Stop! A best-selling new book reveals the truth about how Wall Street has brainwashed Americans into believing we must risk our money in order to grow it. You can take back control of your finances and move closer to your goals and dreams every year, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. More than 100,000 Americans already use Bank on Yourself, and not one of them lost a single penny in their plans when the market crashed. In fact, their plans have continued to grow, safely and predictably. Wall Street is desperately hoping you don't find out about this, but all the details are revealed in the new book, Bank on Yourself, the life-changing secret to growing and protecting your financial future. Get your copy today at your favorite bookstore or at bankonyourself.com, where you can also get a free report that explains how you can take back control of your financial future today. That's bankonyourself.com.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgie Carey needs you. Visit georgiecarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiecarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
We're Atlanta's number one talk station on the 920 frequency.
920
WGKA.
All right. You got to love Mick and the boys. I've seen them a few times. This I got this in an email earlier today, actually, and you never know about the truth to some of these things, but it's interesting. And I did look up a little bit of it. And the numbers appear to be in line. So I want to let everybody hear this. An interesting letter in the Australian Shooter magazine this week, which, quoting, if you consider that there has been an average of 160,000 troops in the Iraq theater of operations during the past 22 months and a total of 2,112 deaths, that gives a firearm death rate of 60 per 100,000 soldiers. The firearm death rate in Washington, D.C. is 80.6 per 100,000 for the same period. That means you are about 25% more likely to be shot and killed in the U.S. Capitol, which has some of the strictest gun control laws in the U.S., than you are in Iraq. So the conclusion is the U.S. should pull out of Washington, which may or may not ever happen. You never know. We've got a caller on the line, Hugh, Officer Hugh, who was on the in the studio with me a couple weeks back. Great conversation with Hugh and some good insight. Masad, you'll really appreciate this. Hugh is an active duty law enforcement officer. We'll call him Hugh because of the sensitivity of the nature of his job. Hugh joins us on Armed American Radio with a story that he told me about last week that the listeners are going to want to hear. Hugh, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me back, buddy. I was going to tell you, we are building that bridge. I pulled over someone the other night, out the driver's window, came a concealed carry permit, a driver's license. The gentleman, when I walked up to him to tell him he had no tail lights, he said, I have a cocked and locked 1911 beside me. I said, well, let's go ahead and step on out together. And we were out there talking, and he said, my friend listens to a radio show at night called Armed American Radio, and I was not able to listen to it, but they told me this is what I need to do. There was an officer on there the other night, so I'm doing exactly what he said because I appreciate him being on there. And I was very happy.
Well, Hugh, we couldn't tell him who it was, and I guess you probably tried to talk a little bit more, like you said to me on the phone the other day, that maybe he would recognize your voice, right?
Uh-huh, I did, and it was kind of strange, you know? I mean, the cult of personality is getting around, but it was great, Mark, and just you need to keep up the good work, buddy. We're getting there, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Then that's great community service, Hugh. I want to let you get back to your vacation, and a happy Father's Day to you. Enjoy
you.
Sunny Florida if it's hot down there, and I'm sure it is, as it is back up here in your neck of the woods.
Also,
boy, stay in the pool.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank Moss for the article in Guns and Weapons for Law Enforcement.
Masad, are
very
you on with us?
Article.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
thank
I just got
you.
Through reading it, and I hate it came after we lost four officers out west, but it's there. I photocopied it for my shift, and tell him thanks for the good work, and be safe out there.
You just did. He's on live with us.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Moss.
Hugh, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it very much. Enjoy your vacation, and happy Father's Day, my friend. Masad, you know, you probably didn't hear the program last week, but what the incident he's referring to occurred about a week after he was on the air with us. And he said that when he pulled the gentleman over, that he put both of his hands out the window, and he was curious as to why he was doing that. And then he went on to tell the story you just heard. As active duty law enforcement, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, Hugh is getting much more direct feedback than I ever got from anything I ever did in a radio show. the armed citizen and the police officer have always been natural allies. And the gun control community, the gun banning community, has been altogether too successful in driving a wedge between the two.
am I right when I suggest that police chiefs associations, because we hear this all the time, you know, those are political appointees, and well, sheriffs are elected officials. So it, doesn't that have something to do with why the rank and file officers appear to be more concealed carry friendly from the law-abiding citizen standpoint, Mass?
Well, most of the rank and file cops will flat tell you they've seen the reality, and when they're home at when they're at work, their spouse at home has a gun to protect the kids with. The sheriffs are elected officials, and they answer directly to the community that they serve. And you'll find National Sheriffs Association much more gun-friendly than, say, International Association of Chiefs of Police. Your chiefs of police in municipalities are the appointees of the mayor, or the city council, and they serve at their pleasure in the wording of the law. If they do not hew to the political line of the person who gave them the appointment, they're busted back down to captain, which is the highest rank that's protected by civil service. So this is why when you generally see a police chief yelling, you know, I want to take guns away from private citizens, it's generally in a city where that has been the political line. You know, a Kennedy Democrat mayor who appointed a Kennedy Democrat chief in Massachusetts, let's say. Certainly Mayor Daley in Chicago. Although Klein, when Phil Klein was superintendent of Chicago PD, I was very pleased with the way he stood up.
You know, you you mentioned something that I'm going to have to find here, that we saw a story about Philadelphia. Yeah, here it is. State court again strikes down Philly gun laws. And because I'm getting old, I'm going to put my glasses on. But it says here, the National Rifle Association is claiming another victory in its continuing battle against gun control measures. It has successfully challenged an assault weapons ban enacted by the city of Philadelphia. A 6-1 ruling by a state appeals court today tossed out two gun control measures approved by city council last year and signed by Mayor Michael Nutter. His name fits him very well because Pennsylvania is subject to state preemption laws. The other measure sought to ban so-called straw purchases. They want to ban straw purchases, Mass. Shouldn't we just ban robberies? What is this?
Well,
what is this?
We'll ban straw purchases. We'll ban mail order sales of firearms. Oh, wait, we did that already.
Isn't it illegal already?
Well, let's see. They banned murder. They banned robbery. They banned rape. But there are some fancy ways to think, well, if we just ban guns, the people who will go against the highest laws of God, man, and civilization in the history of our species will somehow comply.
It's amazing, isn't it? It truly is an amazing phenomenon to me that some of these people don't get it. We've got a new segment. Oh, by the way, real quick, I want to let everybody know, we've got an open line. Okay, we've got a lot of lines tied up tonight, but we have an open line out there at 770-226-0920 or 888-920-2665. You can reach us on either one of those. And I'm not really doing my job too effective tonight because I've got paper spread out all over me and I'm trying to keep it together here. But feel free to email me at the show at mark@armedamericanradio.org and we'll read your email live. We got a bunch of them last week. mark@armedamericanradio.org if you've got a question for Massad or Kathy. And we'll get to Gail in just a minute with some competitive shooting questions. But you guys were out there. I'm very jealous, Massad and Kathy. You guys were just out in Seattle. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, basically, it's always great working with Kathy and with the whole Firearms Academy of Seattle crew. We did a 40-hour LFI-1 course, which is our core program for armed citizens, although we had some cops in there, too. And another 40-hour right after that LFI-2 class, which is a lot higher speed in terms of the shooting. We teach them how to disarm an opponent and how to keep the opponent from disarming them. How to shoot a 12-gauge shotgun with basically five shots in a second or so. And it not only doesn't hurt you, but you actually hit where you're shooting at.
Kathy, you were there, and you attended, correct?
I was helping behind the lines, and I have got to say, you know, every time I have ever seen a Mass teach a class, I am impressed all over again. The man is a stone-cold professional. Mass, really wanted to thank you for the opportunity to watch you work,
watch you run the line.
It's just an incredibly valuable class, LFI-1 in particular. You know, you got listeners out there who might ever consider using a firearm in self-defense. You absolutely need this class. and there's nothing out there like it. So it was an honor to help.
You did a great job.
Now, you guys are also involved. Kathy, I don't know to what extent you are, but Masad, you're also involved in the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, which I believe is based in Seattle. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I've pulled the website up, and it's some great information.
Yeah, basically, Marty Hayes is the prime mover behind that. He has seen, as I've seen over the years, so many people get shafted in court because the defense lawyers that they'd hired after a justifiable shooting had spent most of their careers doing damage control for guilty men and did not understand that the affirmative defense that you need to establish to a jury that my client actually did the act for which he's being charged, but he was absolutely correct in doing so, is another animal entirely.
Now, how much time do we have before a little bit under a minute? I'll go ahead and ask the question, and then we can go ahead and expand on it a little bit after the break. But, Mass, does the Legal Defense Network, the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, supply attorneys? Do they? What exactly do they do?
They supply a substantial amount of legal fees. First, of course, the circumstances of the shooting have to be passed by the board. If you get somebody gets ticked off and murders their drug dealer, we're not going to be there to help them. Marty has done a great job rounding up some of the best and the brightest in the different states who have experience in defending armed citizens and police officers and justified shootings. And we've got that rolling. We're beginning late this year, early next year, doing CLE seminars, continuing legal education on this topic for practicing defense attorneys and civil suit defense attorneys all over the country.
Excellent. Mass, hold that thought. Kathy, hold that thought. We're going to come back and bring Gail on and talk about some competitive shooting here and see if she can outshoot Mass and get the truth. And we'll see everybody right after the break.
This is meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center. Overnight will be partly cloudy and sticky with the low 73. For Monday, partly sunny skies, hot and humid. Watch out for a thunderstorm in the afternoon or evening, high 92. Partly cloudy Monday night, low 73. For Tuesday, partly sunny, hot and humid again, and once again an afternoon or evening thunderstorm in spots, high 92. Wednesday and Thursday, mainly sunny and continued hot, high 92 both days. I'm meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
Are you a man facing divorce? If so, listen carefully. Divorce affects all areas of your life, financially, emotionally, and mentally. It changes the relationship that you have with your children, perhaps even more than you think. My name is Joe Cordell, and I know how hard divorce can be because I've been there myself. Our firm works hard to protect the interests of men during the process. We represent men like you who want to protect their financial interests and the relationship that they have with their kids. Everyone involved in a divorce is affected by the breakup of the family. Cordell & Cordell seeks to help you through this difficult time and to ensure your rights are protected so that then you can move on with your life.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell, 404-842-0009. Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on, 842-0009.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Pirating software is unethical. If your boss is allowing this to happen, your boss is breaking the law. If software is copied illegally at your workplace, report it to the BSA. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
Holding the anchor in the sea of change of our national dialogue, Georgia's Empowerment Radio is Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Mm-hmm.
That's great stuff. Masad and Kathy join us along with Gail Pepin. Is Gail on the line with us live?
Gail is right here, Mark. Here she is.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Hi.
Hi, Gail. How are you this evening? Welcome to Armed American Radio for the first time.
Yeah, I'm great, and thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome, and we hope to have you on a lot more than once coming up in the near future. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a computer screen in front of me, and I'm watching, I'm looking at some photographs of you pulling off a 1911, and it looks great. You look great doing it, and, you know, talk to me a little bit, and to the listeners, about competitive shooting. I know you're heavily involved.
Well, kind of heavily involved. I participate and compete in IDPA and pretty much the GSSF, a little bit of the IPSC shooting, but primarily IDPA.
Okay.
Oh, what's the tell? I love to shoot. I love to compete. You know, when I started shooting, I said the old thing, well, I'm only going to compete against myself. I only want to get better and better. And I got better. I want to beat some guys.
And you haven't you? Let's go back for the listeners here, to some of the listeners that might not know. Let's talk about the International Defensive Pistol Association, folks, which is the IDPA that Gail's referring to. Can you tell us about it? And you know, I know a lot of folks, and myself included, were very intimidated. You know, am I going to feel out of place? Can you tell us and give us a lot more detail on IDPA?
Well, you really shouldn't feel out of place. IDPA was started about 1996. I guess the headquarters is down by with Bill Wilson of Wilson Combat.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of run the IDPA. And there's nothing to be afraid of or to be intimidated about going to a match. You know, if you look for a local club, they have local club matches, most of them, which are usually friendly matches. The one that I've been going to most recently, every single month they have a new shooter squad. They put all the new shooters together. So you're not competing against master shooters, you're competing against other new shooters.
Now, I'm not going to walk in there and hit the line with you, correct?
No.
Okay.
No.
And
you
I think
if you
that's
want
important.
To, you're welcome.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to give that a go. I really would.
That's unique to that club. But most clubs, you're going to find... I was intimidated, too, but you're going to find the people are very nice, very friendly, very helpful. Even if they don't have a new shooter squad, they always have a new shooter's orientation kind of meeting. Every club I've been to has done that, and you're going to find really nice people there and people who will help you and people will give you pointers. And it's a pretty friendly environment.
And now they get together how often at a local club?
Well, most clubs do it once a month. Some clubs up there, like in the frozen north, they don't do it in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Some clubs do it indoors. Some clubs, I know one club that, you know, when it gets kind of cold, they do a steel match. There's no pasting. You know, they get it done really quick. But typically, it's once a month. If you're in the south, it's once a month year-round.
Now, tell us about a typical match that you would shoot.
Oh, a typical match can probably have maybe six or so stages. And they kind of do problems from real life. We've had a lot of fun with this, particularly in Jacksonville. You'll maybe start, like, at a table in a restaurant kind of thing. You know, we've got all kinds of props all the time. And there's these bad guys. You know, they'll give you a whole scenario. They'll say the bad guys walk in, and you have to, you know, do the bad guys and then get to the exit or something like that. So you have to figure out the problem. You have to abide by all the rules, which, you know, keep everybody's safety, and they do. They calculate how fast you can solve the problem, shoot the targets, how fast you can do it, and how accurately you can do it.
Now, tell us about the competition for IDPA. This is something that I've always wanted to shoot. Time has been a factor for me, but I hope to change that in the near future. I would love to get more involved and get involved in some IDPA matches. Now, when you talk to us about the competition, how does it work from local group? Because you've won, have you won IDPA championships?
Well, a couple of state matches and maybe a regional match here and there. But typically the club match is the way to get started. You know, you go once a month and you practice and you practice and you practice with your friends. And you do make a lot of friends there. You're going to see the same faces there all the time, and you're going to make a lot of good friends there. And then you can go on to maybe a state match. You know, most every state has one every year. And there's also regional matches like we have a Florida-Georgia match in addition to the Florida match and the Georgia match. And there's a tri-state match that they have for Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee or something like that.
So each of these, will each individual club then get together with the other clubs, or is it all done from the national organization on down?
It will be done, it depends. The sanctioned matches, the state and the regional matches, those are sanctioned by the national organization.
Right, okay.
Okay, the club matches are pretty much on their own, but they have to follow the national organization's rules.
Okay, now, let's talk about IPSC for a second. There's a lot of folks out there that might not know what IPSC is, and that, of course, is the International Practical Shooting Confederation.
Right, or which, USPSA, United States Practical Shooting Association. I don't know as much about that. That's a lot, that's faster. In my opinion, less tactical, in quotation marks.
Right.
In IDPA, you have to solve the problem like in real life scenarios. In IPSC, it's more running and gunning. You see a lot of that, I think, on the TV and the TV channels.
Right.
That have that. So you're not really practicing any tactics there. It's more of a speed race. And the guns are different. You know, you have tricked out guns, tricked out sights, tricked out holsters. It's more of an equipment race.
Now, let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
If somebody wants to get into IDPA or IPSC, either one, obviously the IPSC is going to be, like you said, it's more get off the X and you're shooting against the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You say a tricked out gun. Give us an example of that. Are most shooters shooting out the photograph I'm looking at you as a 1911?
Okay.
Now,
I don't know which photograph you're looking at.
Oh, it comes from, let me see if I can pull this up again here. It came out of an NRA. I think it was Guns Magazine. And it was actually a photograph that accompanied a column that Mossad had written.
Oh, okay.
I don't know when it was taken.
Okay.
But what type of weapons are you seeing in these matches? Are people firing the popular polymers, the Glocks? Are they firing the Smith & Wesson M&Ps, a lot of duty guns right out of the box? Are they firing the 1911s? What's more popular?
For IDPA, yes. Pretty much any gun of a major caliber, which would be 9mm or greater. IPSC is totally different animal, and I can't speak to that as much as I can IDPA because there are specialized guns. You can shoot your regular guns in IPSC. You're just not going to.
Yeah, you're going to get beat from a timing it's going to be like driving a Ferrari versus driving your Volvo.
Right.
Okay.
IDPA, you go there, it's whatever gun you would carry, you can shoot. The polymer pistols are very popular. You see a lot of Glocks. You have to have a holster. It has to be concealed. You have to have some kind of concealing garment, a shirt or a vest or something, or a jacket, depending on the weather.
So you are drawing from concealment?
You are drawing from concealment.
That's 99%
of the time.
Okay, so that's a great practical skill that you're going to pick up at IDPA. IDPA.
Yes.
Okay. Something else about one of those matches. You're bringing your own carry gun, so you're not going to feel out of place.
Right.
And you're going to learn an awful lot, and the folks are good people.
Yes, they are.
So you would tell people to get involved. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Get out there and shoot and have some fun.
It's great practice. And, you know, they have different categories according to what kind of gun you have. If you have a Glock, you're not competing against a Smith & Wesson revolver. And you're not competing against a 1911. They have different categories for different kind of guns and different standards, different time standards for each kind of gun.
So you're not competeting against that tricked out 1911, that fluffed and buffed, beautiful, expensive piece of iron.
No, you're not.
That we've all seen and we all salivate over. I know I do when I see them.
Yeah, they're kind of too expensive.
Yeah.
But you're competing against guns in your own class.
Okay, so everything's on an even keel.
I'm sorry?
Everything is on an even keel.
It's on an even keel. It is.
See, folks, it's not that intimidating. Get out there and give it a shot. What does something like this cost to get involved with?
Oh, minimal. Club matches are like $15 to $20.
Wow. How many rounds will you fire on an average match in a day?
Oh, maybe between 50 and 100. Depending on the match. Depending on who sets it up.
And that's reasonable. You're looking at two boxes of ammunition.
Yeah. And I've been to some clubs that they do a little extra thing, and I don't think it's official, but I really like it. They'll have a shotgun stage.
Wow. Fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, did I hear Masad correctly say 5 shots in how many seconds on the LFI? Do you remember?
On the LFI, 5 shots in how many seconds? Oh, with the shotgun?
Yeah, on the shotgun training.
What was he saying about the record?
Yeah. What, no, he just said, what did he say, Gene? It was 5 shots in 5 seconds was part of the course? We'll get back to that in just, okay, good. Okay. So we were right there.
Actually, it's timed. It's how fast can you do those 5 shots.
Gotcha. Now, Gail.
Yes.
Honest answer here.
Okay.
Can you beat him? He's won a lot of competitions.
Let's just say it has happened. Maybe he's had a bad day and I've had a very good day. It has happened.
Kathy's laughing there with the crowd roar. That's great.
There's a thing that he does in his classes. If you tie him, he gives you an autographed dollar. And if you beat him, he gives an autographed 5. Let's just say I have a few 5s.
Okay, that's great. Good for you. Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Kathy, you laughed. Can you beat him? You were shooting with him all week.
No.
No, okay.
No, I can't. I do have an autographed one from him from last year where I tied his score on the LFI 1 qual. But, it takes a lot of work to keep up with Masad Ayoub behind the gun, and I'm not there yet. So.
Well, we have to aspire to get there. That's the fun of shooting. Like you said the last time you were on the program, if everybody would stop buying all this ammunition and keep shooting it, if you recall that comment, we'd have a whole lot more fun. Gail, I appreciate your comments on that, and congratulations on having a number of signed 5s. I'd like to get one myself one day.
Kathy's there, can I add something?
Please do.
Because we've had LFI 1 and 2 back-to-back up in Washington there. And I beat her in LFI 1, and she beat me in LFI 2.
Okay,
we're putting some money on it.
What's the difference between, Gene's clapping back there, what's the difference between the two?
LFI 2 is twice as fast.
Okay, so you're moving at a quicker pace in LFI 2?
Yes.
Okay, all right, very good. How much time do we have, Gene? A little bit less than a minute? Okay, good. We've still got some time. Kathy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you won a mat. Come on, you won. You had some competition out there. That's great.
I told her at the end of LFI 2 that next year we're going to have to put a little bit of money on it, she and I, because it's always a lot of fun to shoot with people you like, people you enjoy. So,
and both of you, I guarantee both of you will agree with me on this, that you are better on your game when you're shooting against someone better.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that's true in anything. But that elevates your competitiveness, and it really does. It makes you shoot better. I know some of the training that and the personal training that I've taken, it really does up my game, and it's fun.
It's absolutely true. I think that's the real value of competition, the real value of shooting with friends. If you have friends that can outshoot you and you regularly shoot with them, you will find yourself becoming a better shooter just because of the need to perform, the need to keep up.
Absolutely,
it's
agree.
Absolutely true.
We've got music in the headset. Stick around, everybody. We'll be back with Kathy, Gail, and Masad in just a couple minutes.
Credit card companies are getting government bailouts, and you're getting harassed for payments and struggling to make ends meet. If you're behind on your credit card payments, call for a powerful free consultation from Debt Consultants of America. Debt Consultants of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half. Credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe, and now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now. They can get you the maximum savings off your debts. Debt Consultants has settled millions of dollars in credit card debt. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. This is not available in all states and individual results may vary, but there is absolutely no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Call now, 800-768-6059. That's 800-768-6059. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-768-6059. You're not alone. Call 800-768-6059.
Losing your hair is bad news. Denial doesn't help. I'm Brian Reichenberg with exciting news. If you've been waiting for science to create a miracle, our lab in Italy has just released Kevis 8. This is the world's first topically applied enzyme complex that targets DHT, the medically recognized cause of hair loss. For years, thousands have received amazing results with Kevus, and now it's even better. Clinically tested, new improved Kevusate promotes healthy hair growth for both men and women. Kevus can be used in conjunction with other products and treatments. Kevus, that's K-E-V-I-S. In celebration of our new 8th generation release, first 200 callers will receive 50% off plus an additional 30 days free. Call 800-245-HAIR. 800-245-HAIR. Call 800-245-HAIR. That's 800-245-HAIR.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
Intelligent Talk is Atlanta's news, talk, and information station. 920 AM WGKA.
We are back, everybody. Welcome back to Armed American Radio. 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665. You got to keep the calls on topic. I wanted to jump in with Mossad real quick. I actually had a call last week that I told the caller to said stick around. We had to cut him off at the break, unfortunately, but I asked him to stick around this week, and hopefully he did because he had a question on hand loads. Mossad, are you on with us?
Sure am.
Okay, this gentleman called from Dallas, and I don't know if he was in Dallas, Georgia, or if he was in Dallas, Texas, but he was in Dallas somewhere, and his question was on hand loads and how you can, you know, can you legally carry the hand load in your weapon?
You can legally carry them, as far as I know, in every jurisdiction. It's probably not the best idea. I did one case several years ago where they used the hand-loaded ammunition as a big deal to say regular bullets weren't deadly enough to satisfy this man's malice. The officer involved was acquitted, but it kind of taught me there was some quicksand there I didn't want to step into.
Did you say the officer was acquitted?
Yes, it was a police officer carrying hand loads because he couldn't afford to practice with the factory ammo and the department didn't give him enough. The other was a case of an armed citizen in New Jersey, and the issue there had been gunshot residue determining distance. Whether, you know, he was trying to get the gun away from a suicidal woman when it discharged, fatally wounding her. Because his hand loads were very light loads, the woman involved was his wife, and she was very recoil sensitive, so he had loaded the rounds down. They did not leave gunshot residue, even at arm's length. But he had loaded them in plus B casings. The state determined that, well, it must be plus B ammunition then, so we'll test with the same brand. And, whoa, buddy, you got to be lying. This has to be a remote gunshot wound because there's no gunshot residue. They would not accept his detailed records of his reloads because it was seen as fruit of the poison tree. The prosecutor's argument was, Your Honor, he literally manufactured the evidence. You can't allow this. And the guy wound up being convicted of manslaughter, being a convicted felon for the rest of his life and serving several years hard time.
Wow.
No one's ever been able to find me a case where the reloader's records of what powder charge was in the round has been accepted in court. And because that does come up so often, because self-defense shootings tend to be often at literally powder-burning distance, I've come to recommend that people use hand loads for practice, for training, for hunting, for competition. But for God's sake, don't carry it in the defense gun.
Okay, I hope that the caller from last week is listening. We promised him we'd get an answer from the expert, and we did. So your advice then just to reiterate, is use the hand loads for practice only and do not use them for defensive carry.
That would be my advice, yeah.
Okay, I hope everybody takes that to heart. That's direct from the mouth of Masad Ayoub, and he's been an expert witness in many, many cases, folks. You know, Masad, IDPA, we were talking with Gail, and she was an awful lot of fun. I hope to have her back. That was a great conversation. She says she's got some signed $5 bills from you.
Oh, she sure does. She's also the current Florida Georgia Regional Women's Champion and Florida State Women's Champion.
Okay, she was too humble to tell us that. but I don't think I'd want to go to the line with her.
She was probably also too humble to tell you about the time she won a Glock match in Illinois and didn't just beat all the women, beat all the men. And I have never quite seen such an epidemic of testosterone failure. I say that having been one of the men she beat down into second place.
Wow, that is great. So in other words, she's intimidating on the line.
Boy, she's intimidating in person, too.
Ipsic.
As we've said on the internet, we fear her.
We fear her. Yeah, I do now because she was too humble to say that, but I would love to elevate myself to that competitive level.
I'd love to see you have, whole shows with Gail and Kathy. So many women in America need to hear from strong feminine role models to understand that there's nothing unfeminine about power. It's not about poaching into a masculine world. It's about empowerment. It's about safety.
I couldn't agree more. And Kathy, you're on with us right now?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, we were just talking about safety, and before I run out of time, Mass, you're two kids.
Yeah.
You have two daughters, correct?
I do. They're both now wives and mothers themselves. I started them helping me clean guns when they were 4 and 5 years old. That kind of demystified the object. It kind of deglamorized it. It took away the forbidden fruit aspect, and it also showed them how, if they were ever in a playmate's house and they took their daddy's gun out of the nightstand, how they could defang the snake and unload the damn thing. I started them both shooting at the age of 6. Kat, who's now living in the Pacific, won the High Woman at the National Tactical Invitational in 1996 when she was 19 years old, and frankly beat most of the men too. And Justine, who's now living on the West Coast with her daughter and her husband, when she was 13, she and I won a national champion parent-child team in the sub-junior class.
That is outstanding, and they've got a great teacher.
More to the point, they are both armed, strong women. Neither of them get into it to the level that I did. But it was just like, when we taught them to drive a car, we taught them not to high school driver ed standards. We taught them to police emergency vehicle operation standards. When we taught them the guns, we taught them how to fight with the damn thing like a cop if you had to, and how to beat men on their own ground. And by God, both of them did. It made me hugely proud of them.
That's beautiful, and congratulations, and happy Father's Day. We've got 30 seconds. Kathy, tout your website and everything else out there, and Mass will give you that to do the same thing, too.
The website is corneredcat.com, as in you back a cat into a corner, and what does it do? It fights back. It's for women who might be new to shooting, might be a little bit intimidated, maybe they're just thinking about getting into firearms, thinking about defensive self-defense.
Got 5 seconds, guys. I'm doing it. It happens every week. I hate it.
All right.
CorneredCat.com. Masad Ayoub, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Gail Pepin, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to having you back on and discussing some competitive issues. Kathy, again, thank you. Visit us at www.armedamericanradio.org, www.usconcealedcarry.com, and my personal website at theamericangunfighter.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week, and thanks again for joining us here on Armed American Radio.
AM. WGKS.